I have another young friend in mind who graduated from Dallas Seminary. He was an intern at a church I once pastored. He was an absolute animal on a basketball court. But when he walked off the court, all of that left. While he was in his element playing the game, you couldn't touch him. He was tall, aggressive, and well-coordinated. As I recall, he had been the team captain at West Coast College. But in the normal routine of life, he just slipped away out of sight so people wouldn't see him. And by the way, he has since done a great job of conquering his problem of inferiority. It isn't always obvious on the surface. You see people everywhere, from military personnel to pro athletes, who find very great comfort and ease in doing their work behind the scenes, but who cannot handle face-to-face contact with other people. Inferiority is a hidden beast in many a breast. My good friend, Dr. James Dobson, has written a splendid book on this problem entitled Hide or Seek. In it, he relates the true story of a bright young seminary student who wrote Dr. Dobson a letter while he, the noted psychologist, was lecturing at the school. As they finally met each other face to face, the troubled seminarian stood with tears streaming down his cheeks and openly declared gross feelings of inadequacy. An administrator of the seminary later told Dr. Dobson the young man was the last person in the student body of 300 he would ever have expected to feel that way. And then an event far more tragic than that occurred on the campus. Sitting in the audience that same day was another student with the same kind of problems. However, he did not write me a letter. He never identified himself in any way. But 3 weeks after I left, he hanged himself in the basement of his apartment. One of the four men with whom he lived called long distance to inform me of the tragedy. He stated, deeply shaken, that the dead student's roommates were so unaware of his problems that he hanged there 5 days before he was missed. Three biblical candidates for an inferiority complex. Moses. With the previous observations in mind, let's look at a young man, 80 years of age. That's meant as a compliment, so no one will feel inferior about their age. You would certainly not expect Moses to be suffering from inferiority feelings, but he was. He felt inferior because he had a background of failure. Guilt frequently does breed inferiority. It may be something you have done or something you feel can never be righted, and you resign yourself to live out your life with the weight of failure resting heavily on your shoulders. This is Moses when we find him in Exodus chapter 3. He murdered a man in Egypt, then he left Egypt and was tucked away in an unfamiliar area known as the Midian Desert in a place of obscurity. He was living with his father and mother-in-law, and with his wife was raising a family of 3 children. So he had been forgotten. For 40 years, he had not even been seen by his people in Egypt. Riveted into his head were deeply rooted feelings of inferiority. You may recall the story in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight while the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of their sufferings.